Hello, it is August 17th, I think. And this is our accelerator coaching call. Let's see who's in the room. Let me get my little screen set up so I can unmute folks. And while I'm doing that, it's going to take a second to actually let me in so I can do that. Please think about what can we celebrate with you? And what questions do you have? What can I support you with today? Any kind of road bumps you might have been experiencing, or how to get to whatever next level you're trying to reach? So think about that for a sec while I open up my control panel here. Oh, I can unmute you guys. Okay, fantastic.
I'm on a conference call.
I just unmuted Heather and she was talking to somebody else. So,
Yes.
Meryl and Mary, you are on.
Hello, Dina. Good evening.
Hi. Good
Well,
evening.
good evening. I think pretty much what you and I talked about last night. I am in action doing it. I just finished your second video.
I love it. So that's a great celebration. Merrill spoke to me last night and said that he's going to dive really deep into rewatching the videos and going through the training again because when that's just the best way that he learns. So he's going back to video one and just starting to go through each thing again. And so that's congratulations. That is a fantastic celebration, which is you're already in action on the thing that you decided this weekend.
Yes, I am.
I love
Feel good
it.
about it.
Yay! I'm so impressed that that was so fast. Like, congratulations on your just basically taking bold action. And does anybody? Let me see if Heather's ready for me to unmute her. Heather, is it okay to unmute you?
Yeah, sorry, it is.
Okay,
Yeah.
no worries. Who else has something that we can celebrate? Nothing is too small. Anything that you're grateful for, anything that has happened in the last while that you can share with us?
Well, this is Mary, and I seem to be getting consult requests from Facebook about one or two a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is awesome sauce, honey bun. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazeballs. So
Yeah,
yeah, I know that one of you. Go ahead.
I'm finding real people are a different animal from practicing with
Yes.
friends and
Practice
classmates.
clients. Yeah, I'm glad that you're getting into the real people thing because that's where the real learning happens because they will answer the questions the real way the population answers the questions and not the way that our friends or our other students are trying to be helpful to answer the questions. So I love that. And will you, this is true for each of you that are posting on Facebook to get free consults, will you tag me in your posts so that it shows up on my timeline so that I can repost it and click share? And you can do that with each other as
Okay.
well for anybody else you have permission for. So like if Mary says to Meryl, "Hey, is it okay if I tag you in my post as well?" And Meryl says, "Yeah, sure, go for it." Then Mary can also put Meryl's name and my name, and then it shows up on our timelines, and then we can then quite easily click share to reshare, or we can copy it and repost it again. And one of the things that I taught recently is to add a photo to your post because things with images get more views. And
Yeah,
so,
I've done.
yeah.
I'm sharing my post with the image in marketing,
Facebook
internet
group.
marketing,
Perfect.
and network marketing groups. Yeah.
Perfect. Love it. And Mary also recently had a celebration she shared in Freedom Tribe that I think is worth celebrating in here too, which is that We did the victim disentanglement recently, mm-hmm. and she ended up coming out the other side feeling more confident than she ever has in the past, and that also started to translate into people reaching out to her more and talking to her more and wanting to have more free consults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely part of this.
So that is amazeballs, and I'm so proud of you, and so pleased also that that session was such a good, it like unplugged something, it unclogged something, and now there's more freedom and more movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And
well, on that note, Dana.
Yeah.
I was going to say that part of the decision I just want to share with the group, and Mary already knows this a little bit, but I feel sort of unclogged too because of the work and the training you have given me was to identify the fact that when I was interacting with people, that's when I was not get into, I guess, that's the word, like a deer caught in the headlight, for lack of a better term, and wasn't able to think my way through it. And rather than give up to the work that we have done, I realized, you know, I just need to drill in deeper and maybe take a really deep immersion into this thing here. but I feel good about that because if I ever hope to, as you know, my big goal is to eventually train people how to do this as well. If I ever hope to do this, you really have to walk the talk. So I think that was a huge breakthrough for me. Just all the dots kind of came together for me, and that was huge. And that's one of the reasons I feel like I can devote the energy now to really focusing on the script.
Perfect. Heather, is there anything that we can celebrate with you that's happened recently?
I just posted it on the group because I forgot we're having today's call, so I did a whole blurb on it.
Cool.
I guess to summarize it, I finally started contacting people in my niche, my target market, which is the established businesses, and I was really hesitant to do that, and the response was really good, and the end result of that is that it's helping me kind of formulate a message of who I want to attract, so that kind of like to niche it down a little bit more, so that I'll get more specific responses and results in response to that. And then, but I do have a question. One thing I want to do is, I'm still trying to figure out how to incorporate both of them, but I want to offer, trials of my product in conjunction with the free consult on everything that I offer. And I'm wondering, does that make it too busy or like too much?
Too busy where? Are you talking
too
about
too busy in terms of like
posting?
Just having like a posting and then on, let's say, the capture page or directing them to my page for an offering?
I see.
Is it one more call to action than I should have? But I want to entice them in both ways and tie it into the consult every time. I don't know. Maybe I should mix and match it up.
Yeah, split test it and see if one actually does get you more than the other. Maybe it's too busy and it's just like, oh, this is too much and people are signing up less. Or maybe they're like, whoa, and a free thing too? I'm in. You know, I'm even more in than I was before.
Okay. Okay.
Because you're basically giving away a free consult plus a free trial of a something or other.
Yeah, and that's how I'm really focusing on, let's say, people, established business owners whose lists are a little anemic and they want to grow their list, I guess I just want to offer something more specific but tied into the consult too, so I get those feet in the door, so to speak. I don't know.
What's the free thing you want to add as a bonus?
A trial of, let's say, running a contest for them. I haven't thought of anything else right now. I'm just going to start with that one thing.
Well, the,
just so
the
that it
free
could,
thing that you set up should be something where there is actually a result that they can see before your free consult.
Okay, that would, accomplish that.
Okay, because you would need to set up the content. Like if somebody said, hey, I want that, then you would need to talk to them first probably and do an initial intake so that you could set up the contest run the contest for a week or two, and then do your free consult and say, these are the results that I got from your contest. These are how many leads we picked up, and now let's do your free consult. So you can definitely do that. It is more work. Clearly it's more work. Clearly it makes people have to wait a week or two before their free consult. And we don't know if people, you know how sometimes people say yes, they want something, and then when it comes time to do it, they don't show up?
Yeah.
I would hate for you to do all this work to set up a contest for them, and then they never call you back to do the free consult part of things. I know that they might also not reap the benefits of the contest because you're not going to release all those emails to them unless they sign up for you, for example.
Yeah.
But it still does make you have to do extra work for a bunch of people who may not show up to the call. So we kind of don't know until you test it how well that works. And maybe the fact that you're setting up a contest and you're going to say to them, all right, we're going to do our, you know, business breakthrough or whatever you call your calls 2 weeks from now, and I'm going to be, you know, we're going to let this free contest run for 2 weeks, and then when we do our business breakthrough call, I'll also be sharing the results of your contest.
I like that.
And then 2 weeks later, when they get on the phone with you, which they hopefully do, since you already went to all that other work, then you can do your normal call script, but insert it in there in the phase two. You would talk about, you know, when you ask them about, so how's your online marketing? Are you getting leads? Are you building your list? You can say, well, at that point, you name the root cause of when you don't have automated online marketing set up online, you're missing and losing a lot of leads that would otherwise you'd capture. And so, you, as you know, 2 weeks ago I set up this contest, and in just 2 weeks' time, you already gathered this many people who responded to your contest. That's, you know, 25 more possible customers that could become lifelong customers.
Yeah.
Because as you know, the whatever cost over time of a customer, it's not just their first visit. They come multiple times after that when they become a beloved customer. So the lifetime value of that of those 25 new people that we just garnered in 2 weeks is great. But on top of that, we can do even more stuff with them that make them come in more often, that make them share to their networks your deals and stuff like that. So there's so much that you could be doing to be growing your customers online while you're sleeping.
And I have one question, and then I have one observation, or what, like one little comment. If you were to do two calls to action, which is like two enticements, which is the contest or whatever it is, the freebie, the hook, and then the free consult. Let's say you were doing a video or you were posting on Facebook. How would you phrase that so it doesn't look too cluttered? Like, what would the transition be between those two things? That's why I need some help.
Is this on a Facebook post or on a landing page?
Let's say it's a text on Facebook. Let's say it's a video on Facebook as well.
Plus video, same post.
Yeah. Let's just say either one. Maybe it's just text only, or it's a video only. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Oh wait, I'm sorry. Did you say text only or video only, or are you combining them into one post?
Well, I guess it could be either or. It could be just the text. Or it could also be
both.
One where I, at the same time.
I would do both, yeah.
Oh,
that I would
okay.
have all the details
time.
That you're posting in the writing, and then you have
okay.
the video. Because some people, they like to watch video. Other people, they prefer to read. They don't want to sit through a video. And then there's a third kind of people who like to watch the video and follow along with what you've posted. In text. They like to watch and read at the same time. So.
Okay.
It kind of can double reinforces things for people because they get the visual of the video, the audio of the video, and the visual of the written word.
Okay.
So you're serving people's brains in three different ways per post. So you're kind of maximizing your post. And then what I would say is, let me think. Are you targeting, in this case, brick and mortars?
I think I'm going to start with, let's say, the online people, like maybe the meetup organizers or just people who have a business where they are already online and they already have an established clientele, like maybe a yoga instructor
okay.
or something.
More established solopreneurs and entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's just start with
okay,
that.
Okay. So we discussed that thing before where we said, what was it? How do we phrase it? It was like...
You said you have a list that's not getting you action, or something like getting you action, or it's not...
Yeah, like, do you have a list, but you want to grow it bigger? Or do you have
yeah,
a list
mm-hmm.
and you want more engagement? Or do you have a list and you want to double it or something like that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
those are
mm-hmm.
all different ways to phrase it. So that might be the first sentence.
Okay.
And then the second, so that tells the reader that people begin to self-select into who fits into that category versus not.
Yeah.
If they fit, then they can read the second sentence, which is... it might be something like, I help people, grow their lists while they sleep, or I help people double their list, or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And you might list a couple of things that you do there, like I help people grow their list, get more customers from online, and, you know, make more money while they sleep. That might be the second sentence. And
mm-hmm.
the third sentence might be something like, and I'm giving away 15 private one-on-one online marketing breakthrough sessions
uh-huh.
this month, which comes with a free trial of
I like that. Okay.
A contest. I don't know if we should call it free trial because they don't automatically get those names unless they sign up, right?
Ideally, yeah. I know it makes me sound like I'm an extortionist,
so
but that's ideally
it would be more
how
like
it works.
Which comes with a test run, or
mm-hmm.
which comes with a test run of setting up a contest, this is a little bit more verbose than I want, but of setting up a trial run of a Facebook contest to get you more exposure and more leads.
Okay,
something
I
like
that.
We need to rephrase the trial. I want to find a better word than trial run because I want the phrase we choose to express that it's a trial or like a test,
yeah.
but I don't want it to make them automatically assume they get to keep all those names. So I want to find a phrasing that speaks a little bit more to that. And I'm not sure what it is yet. Trial run, test run, experiment.
Introductory taste? I don't know.
yeah.
I know what you're saying, though.
Okay. Which comes with it, an
experimental... Preview.
Oh, actually, that works better. Preview doesn't quite mean you get to walk away with something. It means you get to look at something. So preview, I like better, because it sounds like looking at, not getting to keep, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does.
Like
it
a
does.
Trailer. Like
okay.
a trailer to a movie. It's a preview.
Yeah.
Which comes with a preview. Except preview sounds like you're about to sell them that software. It comes with a preview of such and such software. It makes it sound like you're trying to sell that software. So we need to test that phrasing out and see if people bite or if
okay.
they think like, oh, she's just going to be trying to sell me software. I don't want them to think that. You might have to have a have a whole separate sentence that says, "You'll also get. I'll also set up a Facebook contest to for your business to get more leads, and you'll get to preview the results. How about that?"
Oh, okay. Okay, I like that. Yeah.
I'll also set up
courtesy view.
Like I'll set up a customized. What? Huh, Meryl?
I was saying, how about something like a courtesy view?
Courtesy preview. Yeah, something like that. I feel like preview is shorter. It takes up a little less space on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we'll play with it. So we got that, write that down as a backup phrasing, courtesy view or something like that. Sneak peek, that's another way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Sneak peek at the result.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
So I'll set up a customized Facebook contest for your business, and you'll get a sneak peek of the results, or you'll get a preview of the results, something like that.
Okay, I like that. Thank you. And then
yeah.
One last thing I wanted to say about the celebration is that I offered to do a free contest for two people who are meetup organizers because I wanted to see what the response would be. It's more like I did it for myself. And I didn't have to explain anything. All I said is I have contest software that grows your list on autopilot, and they got it. I didn't have to explain anything. It was like so effortless.
Nice.
I mean, they just got it. So I just want to say that was just wonderful. I loved it.
Good.
Yes.
And what did you – I'm sorry. I took a note on what you started this conversation with in your celebration. What was your celebration? Was it that you – the note I took got deleted.
Well, that I stopped the idea of working with people who are just starting out because I just really didn't like it, and I focused on what I wanted, which I was a little afraid to go after. And then when I did, I got really good results. I mean, she said, "I've been waiting for you all my life," basically, when I told her about my software. Yeah, one of them actually said, "You're a godsend." So for me, it was me. Seeing that receptivity is what
right.
I needed, and then also this is, you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Great. Yes, good. Thank you. I just wanted to make that note, because I do take notes on what we cover in these calls, so I wanted to make sure I had an accurate note, and that's awesome. And so, fantastic.
You.
So what did you set up for the meetup people, that same contest thing that you showed me?
I'm going to set up for her. She's a yoga instructor, so we're probably going to give away one of her sessions.
Wonderful.
Sessions,
Cool. All right. I love it. All right. What other questions do we have? And or what other problems, if there are any, that you're running into, or slowdowns, or...
Well, I sent a question in by email. At the end of the script, after getting their credit card number, the script talks about a welcome email and a client form.
Intake form.
I was wondering if you had produced the client form yet, I didn't see it in the back office, and if we're supposed to write our own email, or if we...
Is it the welcome email?
Template? The welcome email, yeah.
Okay. Maybe it's not in there yet. A welcome email.
I didn't see it, no.
Okay. You can look at my welcome email that I sent you for the Business Accelerator, because it's pretty much going to be pretty similar to that in the meantime until I copy and paste it into the Accelerator.
Uh-huh.
Let me see. Yeah, I'll send you my welcome email. Welcome email.
That sounds good.
I was trying to put up, but it takes a little bit of time. I recorded a video for you guys on the network, how to do that networking technique that I teach.
Mm-hmm.
So that whenever you're at a networking event, a bus stop, on the train, on the bus, waiting in line, sitting on an airplane, you can use this technique to tap into the Rolodex of the people around you and get some referrals. So it's the technique I teach at ESBI, the meetup group I run. But I'm giving you the full technique on video so that you can take notes, you can rewind, you can all that good stuff. And I'm teaching you how to talk about what you do you know, that what do you do sentence, the elevator pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm teaching you how to say that, but I'm also teaching you the whole formula that goes around that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't just say that. There's other stuff you say before that and there's stuff you say after that in order to make it work really well. And so I've already made the video. It's already on YouTube. I just got to load it into the membership site, which takes a little bit of finagling.
And a question for
That's
you.
Coming. Yes.
Do you have any instructions on your website? I don't remember if you do or not, but how one would create a video in terms of what you were doing, like you have that video inset, and then you have your larger video where you're showing the scripts.
Uh-huh.
Is there an instruction on how that's done?
You would just need to, are you on a Mac or PC?
I'm on a PC.
On a PC, you download, you have to purchase Camtasia. It's a screencasting software.
Oh, I got that.
Okay, and then when you go to record, you turn on the screen camera, which records the screen, and then you turn on the webcam camera, which turns on the webcam, and then it records both automatically, and then you can just move where you want the inset video to be on the screen, move it around, make it larger, make it smaller, and edit from there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I can't think you had that little piece there. I work with it all the time. It's just somehow that was never something I used.
Yeah, and with Macs, for anybody that's listening and has a Mac, you can get ScreenFlow or Camtasia for Mac, and they also have similar features. And I don't know if iMovie, the newer, most updated version, has an inset video thingy or not. I have an older iMovie version because I got Camtasia and ScreenFlow instead. So I can't speak to that, but those are the softwares that you can use for that. If you want to do something quick, I can't remember. I'll tell you some screencasting software for free online, but I don't remember if they let you shoot two videos simultaneously, your screen and your face. Oh, I'll tell you three. One of them does let you do that.
Screencast-O-Matic?
Yeah, maybe.
Screencast-O-Matic. Okay.
Yeah, for $17, I think it's $15 a year, you can get the pro version of that, and I believe that the picture-in-picture is available on that.
There's also Jing, J-I-N-G, which does screencasting. I don't know if they have picture-in-picture. And normally with Jing, you only get like 5 or 10 minutes total. I think with Screencast-O-Matic free version, you only get so many minutes total. Can't quite remember, but I used Screencast-O-Matic for a long time just to shoot short tutorials where I'm screencasting.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried to put my face in it because normally I find it easier to not put my face in it because you have to pay attention to more things while you're teaching when your face is in it. But, and then you can use Google Hangouts on Air. So Google Hangouts, you can connect it to your YouTube account, and then when you go live on Google Hangouts on Air, you can turn on your video camera plus your screencasting camera, so to speak, and when you're on Google Hangouts on Air, you can click Record Broadcast. It automatically it starts recording after you push Go Live or Start Broadcast or something like that. And then when you're done, it automatically uploads it to your YouTube channel, just automatically. So that's cool because you don't have to process a video and then upload it to YouTube, which does take more time in all the other softwares. So that's a good tool as well.
Okay.
Google Hangouts on Air.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what really each of you have, I didn't want to put more training in the portal while people were still trying to get their free consultations on, so to speak, still trying to rev that up, because I've seen in the past that when I do something like that, people start to feel overwhelmed and they start to feel like they're falling behind and it unconsciously freaks them out. And so that's why I haven't been putting new stuff up in the portal. I just want to give you guys breathing room and space to just kind of gently bring yourselves into doing this and deal with your any resistance or whatever else comes up as you are, just getting in there and learning how to do free consults. I'm about to start putting some stuff up, like the video I just told you about, which is how to get more free consults by using this technique that I'm teaching you about how to talk about what you do whenever you're in a networking event, waiting room, airplane, doctor's office, waiting in line somewhere, bus stop, train. So you can begin practicing that technique because it will book you more free consults. And what other, like, what would be helpful right now? I think Mary and Heather, you both are right in the sort of beginning of starting to get more free consults now. And so what would help you? Is it just more ways to book more free consults faster?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you need anything? Do you want anything? what would help you?
I don't really feel like I've been going at the attempt at gung-ho, which I haven't, so I feel like I should just focus on going gung-ho.
Mm-hmm. So it's not that you even need more support. You're just getting yourself geared up to start to go gung-ho?
Uh-huh.
And you already have the tools you need, so to speak. You just need to start blasting on Facebook and stuff about your free consults?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mary, how about you, my love?
Well, I've been working real hard on Facebook. That's where all my consults have come from.
Okay.
The only thing I'm uncomfortable about is saying a welcome video or a welcome email and a client form and not being able to produce that form.
When you say form,
The client agreement.
Oh, the client agreement is in the portal already, right?
Is it?
I'm pretty sure I put that in there a long time ago, but maybe not. I thought the client agreement was already in there. I think I have a video saying, here's my client agreement, change it to fit your, but I could be wrong, change it to fit your business. So you're wondering about welcome email and client agreement.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to the website now.
And Mary, did you end up asking PayPal about when you sign up for a no-cost business account, do they have the virtual terminal or do you only get to have buttons?
I only get to have buttons.
Okay.
I have a plan. I'm going to ask, when I get a credit card number, I'm going to immediately call them and say, can I upgrade for free for 48 hours? And if I can talk them into doing that, then, in other words, giving me the ability to put in a credit card number without
mm-hmm.
paying first, then I will pay them within 48 hours from what I charge that credit card.
You'll pay who within 48 hours?
I would pay PayPal their $30 or $60 or whatever it was. I can even make it 24 hours.
I need to
process this credit card in order to have the money to pay them. And I think, I'll bet they let me. I bet they'll do that. But because I'm anticipating talking to someone in India, I want it to be timed so that the 24 or 48 hours starts at that conversation.
Okay.
I don't want to talk.
Do you know if the PayPal button you're able to create in the free account allows you to create subscription buttons or only one-time payment buttons?
One time, I believe.
Okay, that's why it won't work. Okay. Yeah. Because if they were subscription buttons, then you technically could send them the payment link by email, stay with them on the phone while they paid for it, and signed up for a month-by-month subscription, and then it could technically work, and if you could have that workaround. But if it's only a one-time payment button, that is going to be probably not good in that you have to constantly chase people down to pay, and it's so unpleasant.
Although, after the first credit card, I'm going to be able to upgrade to their, whatever they call their level where the subscription is possible.
Oh, that's the second level up, which is $60 a month.
Yeah. But as my lowest price is $100 a month, then I can certainly pay for that with my first card. I just have to finagle them letting me start it for free and then pay them within 24 hours of it.
Okay.
Which
besides adding the welcome email and client agreement, if it's not in there, is there anything else? Because the other thing, I mean, one of the next things I was going to teach y'all is how to create a talk, how to create a class, basically, or a talk, such that, this is another way to get more free consults. You offer a free teleseminar, which you can use any of those free conference call lines for, and you post it all over Facebook and Twitter and all the places you can post, and let people email you to register. And so basically, for example, you'd say, next Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, I'm running the How to Get More, Facebook likes in 30 days teleclass, where you will learn, and then you have like three bullet points. If you'd like to get into the free class, email me or private message me, and I will send you the call-in information. Email is better because you're trying to collect emails, so you'd say, private message me and send me your email so I can register you. And then I would be teaching you how to create a talk and how to run that class, basically, because that's one of the ways that you let people have some experience with you before you ask for a sign up or even, go for the free consult. So at the end of your class, you could make an offer for your lowest level program. If you want to learn more how to do this, go to this website, sign up, and click on the PayPal button, and join the 6 month program, $97 a month or something like that. So that's one way to end that call. Another way to end the call is to say, if you want help with growing your Facebook likes over the next 30 days, that's what I specialize in, and you can email me at such and such email to grab one of these, explode your Facebook likes private sessions that I'm giving away this month. And that would be, getting people into your free consults. Now, I don't want to give you guys all that stuff because I don't want you guys to have another thing to need to do right now if you feel like you're getting enough free consults right now. I'd basically be teaching you like the next method to start getting more free consults, which is speaking. And the easiest way to do that is on a teleclass, although the talk format works for live speaking engagements as well, which means you can also speak at other people's meetups and stuff like that using the same talk that you've written for the teleclass, and you're just doing it in a different venue.
How do we know when we're ready for the speaking, the live speaking?
When you've really mastered or or really gone gung-ho on the other methods I've taught you so far to get your free consult. So you were saying you haven't quite started to go like gangbusters on promoting your free consults on Facebook yet, for example. And Mary already has been, and she's starting to get to 2 consults a week. But I prefer you guys to have like 5 to 10 free consults a week, because you can generally do 2 in a day on the weekdays. I mean, just over 7 days. Well, actually, it depends. Some of like you, some of you work, so I know your schedules are different. I know Mary also works on the farm or the ranch. So, but ideally, if you can get, you know, one free consult a day, at least, that's going to start getting you more practice. But it's also going to start getting you closer and closer to more signups and kickstarting your cash flow. So I'm kind of trying to figure out when is the right time to teach you the speaking thing. I don't want to rush it. But I don't want to delay it either. So, Heather, you're like, okay, I'm starting to like niche down. I'm starting to feel more comfortable with my niche. People are liking what I'm saying and doing. I'm ready to go like gangbusters now. Mary, what's your sense? Because Heather, you already have the tools to start to play with like Facebook and some of that stuff. Mary, what do you think?
I don't quite understand the question. What do I think about what?
Do you want me to already start teaching you the talk formula?
No. I do want to concentrate on the scripts and getting a client or 2 or 3 or 10.
Okay. Well, the just to be clear, the talk formula gets you more free consults. It's a method for getting more consults faster, because just posting on Facebook may not be the fastest way to get new consults. Doing talks may be much faster and easier, like doing a teleclass.
Okay, well,
so I'm just trying to feel into when's a good time to teach you guys that is what I'm trying to feel into. But it sounds like, Mary, you are more in favor of not having a second thing to learn because you still feel like you're trying to learn the free consult script?
Yeah. And as far as sharing it on Facebook, I'm real comfortable with that. I've been doing that kind of marketing for a couple of years, so I'm just adding another post to what I do.
Okay.
So it's not learning anything to be using Facebook.
It is learning something to do your free consult.
Yes.
Okay. In that case, I might put a new thing up about using Canva. Are you guys familiar with Canva.com?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
It's a free software online that is like a very simplified version of Photoshop, where you can basically create Twitter pictures, Facebook pictures, Facebook group headers, Twitter profile headers. They have it all pre-measured out. So you go into Canva and you choose if you're trying to create an image for which kind of platform. And then they have a bunch of preloaded, beautiful images. You can go to Google and find some image that you want for your background image. And you go in there, replace the image, but they have beautiful fonts that lay on top that you then just change to say what you want it to say. And so you all know that Facebook posts, Twitter posts that have pictures on them get more engagement and more views. People are attracted to them. And so I was telling you last time, like, hey, remember to post a picture with your post when you say I'm giving away these free consults. And I was saying just choose a picture that's relevant, that matches your niche, or at least just choose a picture of a happy woman. For some reason, happy women get more clicks in Facebook. pictures of happy women. And so what I'm saying now is you can use Canva, canva.com, and you can upload a picture of a happy woman or a beach or something. And then on top of it, you can very easily write some text like, win or get one of my 10 business breakthrough sessions this month. Something like that, for free, right? Like that's what the image would say. And because people are more apt to read the big words on the image faster than they are to read the post, that will catch their attention first. Then they'll read the post that has more of the details. And that might help you also get more free consults, is when you have these more branded images, we can say, that match your post. So it's not just a random picture of a happy woman. It's a picture of a happy woman with words on top that say, get a free business breakthrough session, or something like that. So that's Canva. It's just a super fast way to create those Twitter images, Facebook images, etc.
Yeah, it's really easy. You can also upload your own photographs if you care to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the way they make money is if you choose one of their photographs, it's a dollar. If you upload your own background image, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain like fonts that might cost a dollar or something like that, but generally you can use it for free right now with your own image.
Yeah.
Or one of their bland background images.
And they're very clear about which ones are a dollar and which ones
yeah.
are free.
Yeah. It's great. So I would recommend that as one of the ways to up-level your Facebook posts.
Yeah, I managed to find an image of a pretty girl that already had the word strictly private on over the top of it.
Hmm.
And that got a lot of interest. I was trying three different images, and that was the one that won out.
Cool. I love that you're split testing. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
You just get better and better at finding the posts that get the most. So one thing that you can start to do, each of you, is to start to double up your posts by posting that same image and text to Instagram and Twitter, although Twitter you have to make it a little bit shorter. But since you already have the image and you already have written the post, you might as well go across platform, Pinterest,
mm-hmm.
and just do a quick post, yeah. post in each location.
Yeah, I can't do Instagram because I don't have a smartphone. But
oh, they still don't let you do it from a laptop. Okay. Yeah, Pinterest.
Yeah,
they
let you do
LinkedIn.
It from a laptop after I've had a training on Instagram, and they'll let you do it from a laptop, but you have to set up your account from a smartphone.
Ah, okay, that's cool. So at some point, somebody can help Mary set up her account through their smartphone, and then she can continue on her own desktop or laptop. So that's a little way around that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of, you know, blasting on all the platforms, since you already have the post, you might as well. And I think PostCron, PostCron, allows you, oh, I can't remember exactly how it works, allows you to mass post in groups, Facebook groups, so that you don't have to go group to post. But thinking about it, I think Facebook said that you cannot post in groups using one of those platforms unless you are the admin of the group or you have the permission of the admin. I can't quite remember. Worth looking
yeah,
into,
you
though,
can,
because
you can lose your whole Facebook account if you're posting too much, and using those tools will quickly get you to too much.
In other people's groups, right? Not your own groups?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Because I was, originally when I post ads in Facebook groups, I have like a list of 30 groups to post in. So it does take some time to go across all the groups and do that. And then I found out, oh, there's an automated way. And then I found out, no, Facebook is starting to shut that down.
Yes. Yes, because there were people posting in hundreds of groups every day with those things.
Oh. Such a shame. Because for those of us who just want to post in, like, the, you know, relevant groups that we're actually a part of, it's kind of a pain in the butt to go group to group. But it is just a copy-paste job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not too bad.
Yep, it's not hard. I do, I'll do 12 or 13 of them at a time and do that two or three times a day.
Great. Oh, I love it. And are you remembering to interact in the group as well, like simple stuff, liking other people's posts, saying congratulations or whatever under their
posts? No, I know I should be doing that. I have not made myself do it yet, but I will.
My secret sauce to that is when I go in the group to post my post, I just scroll down and do some likes and do some comments and then go to the next group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least the short and dirty way of doing it, short and quick, of just doing a little bit of engagement as you pop in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I know. I should do that. It's just a matter of making myself do it.
Yeah. At least, at the very least, you're getting your posts out, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, that part's working, and I have them on a business page, so the business page gives you tracking of how many people saw it and how many people were engaged with it. And
oh, you have your own business page on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have for a long time.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
I've been really increasing because I'm really buckling down and doing this and for my network marketing company, I do the same thing, posts usually of my blog, and my reach is getting higher and higher. And I'll tell you one thing, Facebook really rewards videos that are uploaded directly to Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing that on your own Facebook business page and getting a lot more views?
Yes, getting a lot more reach. Facebook is showing my stuff around more.
Mm, okay. Cool. Yeah, I have heard that they're really favoring that right now. And
mm-hmm.
Are there any, Mary, and the people, or in, well, anyone for that matter, are there any places in the call script that you need support? I know, Mary, that you said you're starting to practice real people, quote-unquote real people now.
I just needed to move some of the instructional text out of a certain part in the script because I would get lost at that point couple of times. So I just moved that and it really helped.
Great. What about you, Heather?
Oh, sometimes I have trouble getting out of them their highest desire. I just can't, you know, like the word you use, up level it, or I'm not digging it out.
What are you saying, or how do you say it? Maybe I can help you rephrase it a little bit. Or how's it going? Give me a little insight.
I use yours verbatim, like, you know, like, and how would that make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I even say, what did I say last time? Something about, I even said, what's your highest, not your highest desire, but I forgot what I said.
Right. Something like that.
Hmm. Something like that, yeah.
You can give them a little bit of a suggested answer. So when people don't understand what I'm trying to get at, then I give them example answers. So that's why it says, how does the script says, how does it feel in your body? Are you standing taller? Are you feeling stronger? Are you smiling more? Those are example answers, so they know the type of answer I'm looking for. So same thing with the leveling up of the goals. If they're kind of not really leveling up, and by the way, I don't know if you're saying, you might be, when you have, and then you repeat the last things they said, what will having all of that do for you? So when you're starting to get leads while you sleep and starting to have more income and starting to not have to work as hard, what will having all of that do for you? Are you phrasing it that way when you're up-leveling?
I think I am because I'm putting in the goal, the first goal, like when I'm doing the first part. Yeah, but I like how you're kind of layering it on.
Well, I'm saying whatever they said in the last goal. So if I say, what's your goal? I want to make $10,000 this month. Okay, when you make $10,000 this month, what will having that do for you? Well, I'll be able to pay off my bills, pay off my car payment, and maybe take a vacation. Great. So when you're able to pay off your car bills, I forgot the other thing I said already.
I repeat
the three things. When you're able to pay off your car bills, pay off your whatever bills, and take a vacation, what will having all of that do for you? Wow. Well, then I would. So that's how you up-level each time. And then if you're still not getting to one of those ultimate goals, you can say, you can suggest answers. You can say, what will having all of that do for you? Do you start to feel happy or fulfilled? So you're kind of dropping some suggested answers. And if they say, yes, totally happy and fulfilled, then you say, great.
Okay.
And now you've reached the top goal. Joy, ecstatic. Purpose, meaning, all those lofty goals.
So that's good. You can go and make those suggestions when you're making that phone, when you're talking to them, and they don't come up with the actual emotion. You can actually say, what about being happy? What about being fulfilled? That's okay to say that.
Because you don't want to say, what about being happy? Because it sounds a little bit.
Well, more of them saying, I'm giving your examples there too. They'll say, I was getting way too many details on some of these practices from people, and said, so what will all that do for you? And they go, will you be happy? Will you be fulfilled? Kind of stuff I was putting
Great. Will you be? That's a good way to say it. What about, or the other way before was a little bit more, there's a little slight harshness to it that I wanted to avoid.
Okay. Good.
And so would you be is a great, very open frame way of saying it, that doesn't have any charge, like negative charge behind it. It's more encouraging, it's more open, because what about happiness sounds like, hello, duh, are you going to be happy? There's a little bit of the edge of that. Very, very tiny. Very tiny, but it's still there, and I don't want them to mishear you and feel like there's a little bit of a chastisement there.
Yeah.
And so it's better to just say, would you be happy? Would you feel fulfilled? Do you feel more in your purpose? Do you feel joy or excitement or something like that? And so, you can, if there are some times where some people get a little bit lost or confused in that up-leveling section, and it kind of goes in circles, and there's also, and so I have to kind of suggest the answers, or I just move on, even though they haven't gotten to their highest goal, I just move on.
Okay.
Because I want to save time, right? So you can just move on even if they haven't gotten to their highest goal. But they have, you have asked it a couple of times. They have given you more cool things that will happen once they reach their first goal. So that's good enough. However, there's another thing that happens sometimes, which is that you miss that they've actually named one of their highest goals. And what I mean by missed is they don't phrase it in the way like happiness, joy, fulfillment, purpose. They say something else that we just don't realize is a top goal for them. And what happens is when you try to take people beyond their top ultimate goal, they start going back down onto the smaller goal spectrum again. Mm. And so I've had it with people where I didn't catch that adventure was one of their peak goals. And so their initial goal is, I want more vacations. Great. What will that have for you? Oh, more relaxation, unwinding, getting to spend time with my partner. Wonderful. When you get more relaxation, unwinding, and getting to spend more time with your partner, what does having all of that do for you? Oh, my goodness, you know, adventure and just seeing new places. And I don't realize that adventure is one of their top goals. So then I keep trying to up-level them, and I go, okay, great, when you have adventure and you get to start seeing more places, what does having all of that do for you? I guess, well, it'll be nice to be able to travel with my kids and see my partner, like I said. Like, they start going backwards like that.
Yeah, and
they just start
like
kind of, like, getting watered down, and then you're like, oh, that's when I realized, oh, I took them past one of their ultimate goals, and I didn't realize it was an ultimate goal for them. So, you know, adventure is not necessarily an ultimate goal for most people, the word adventure. But to that person, adventure is an ultimate goal. It's one of their peak values. I want an adventurous life. I want to experience great, grand things. And so they're using the word adventure differently than I would use it. I don't use the word adventure as a top goal, I mean, personally. I use it to mean, like, going out and having fun. And so that's just the difference in the meaning behind the words that people use. And so sometimes you'll have trouble finding an ultimate goal only because you've missed that they have named one of their ultimate goals because it's not one of the typical ones. That said, don't worry about it. If they start going backwards in their goal, if it starts getting watered down or confused, just move on to the next question, which is, all right, so let's, you know, imagine we fly out in the future. You're in that life. What does it feel like? So just keep moving them along the process.
When do you
because
know?
You don't want to lose too much time. If you spend too much time accidentally in phase one, you run out of time by the time you're trying to get to your offer. You know, phase three, when you offer your stuff, then you still have to have the, you know, dancing with concerns and money conversations, and then you start running out of time at that point, and then they're like, oh, I got to go right now. I got to go pick up my kids. I was only planning on an hour and a half conversation. And go, shoot, I spent too much time in phase one. And so if you notice that phase one is taking too long, just scooch them along. Don't worry about hitting that ultimate goal if you're having trouble. And employ the thing that I just taught you, which is repeat the main things that they just said and then say, what will having all of that do for you?
Okay.
And you say that each time that you up-level. And usually you'll get to, oh, I'll be happy. Oh, I'll feel joy. I'll feel blissed out. I just feel like I'm on my purpose finally. I feel like I'll be living my purpose. Like, you, those are the common ultimate goals. Freedom. That's another one that people say. So, yeah, those are some skills on how to deal with that part.
So, Dana, when do you know when to bring up the root cause of something?
Well, with my work, if I'm doing the entanglement work, there's specifically 7 main entanglements that I teach people. So when they start listing some of the symptoms of that entanglement, I can say, hey, that's that entanglement, right? When it comes to business, I don't have like a list of the top business blocks that I can then name, although that is useful to have, to just think about, okay, when I'm working with people, can I create a list of the top, you know, 7 or 10 issues or root causes that I generally identify in people? And then when I do these consults, I'm just trying to sniff out those top 7 or top 10. And the moment I hear anything that sounds like that, I go in and I identify that root cause. So you can, as I did with you, Meryl, make a list of, or one of the things I suggested with you is make a list of the root causes that you want to be able to name for people that you happen to know are the root causes that make learning computer applications challenging for people. And then when they're talking in phase two, you specifically try to ask questions to elicit those root causes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So if you know that one of the root causes that people struggle with learning Excel is that in the class they were in before, the teacher moved too fast, then you know that one of the questions in phase two should be, have you ever taken a class to learn any computer programs? Because you're trying to work towards that root cause, so to speak. You're trying to see if this is an issue for them. And they'll say, if they say, yeah, I did take a class. And then your next question is, well, how did it go? Were you able to learn pretty easily or quickly? And they'll say, no, the instructor moved too fast. And you're like, ha-ha, that is one of my root causes. I can name it now.
Right.
And that's when you say, well, actually, that's one of the main reasons that people struggle with learning computer applications and then giving up and feeling frustrated is that they tried to take a class and the instructor moved too fast. And then comes your mini story. I work with somebody who took a class and they totally got overwhelmed and gave up because the instructor moved too fast. Once they worked with me and I was able to teach at their pace and repeat things as many times as they wanted, they mastered Excel in no time.
Like it.
So that's psychologically, or the general flow of identifying root causes, you kind of have to know ahead of time, what are some of the main root causes that I probably will encounter in most people when it comes to what I help with? So like for Heather, one of the root causes is they don't engage their email list once people sign up, or they aren't using software like contests to be list building in a way that's more fun than just your website.
Mm-hmm.
Or with Mary, a root cause of people's online business not growing is they're not using video, or they're not blogging. They don't even have a blog. They don't know how to blog. And those are all great ways to get more exposure and more customers. So Mary's root causes have to do with things like blog and video absence. So if it helps each of you to do so, you can definitely make a list of, all right, these are the main root causes or main problem points that my clients probably encounter that are preventing them from being able to reach that goal, whether the goal is learning Excel, growing your business with online marketing, growing your list. And that should help. But Meryl, we've done something specific for you so that you don't have to think on your feet as much, which is what we started to do with your free consult script.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So ideally, if we can set that up in a way that's super tight and clean, so to speak, you don't have to figure things out. It's already in your script.
Exactly, and that makes it cleaner. But it's kind of nice to know, because sometimes we'll bring something that's completely off script, which is what was happening with Ruby when my last conversation was, and I had to really dial, just start dancing with that.
Can you tell me in just one or two sentences what was off script?
She didn't really definify the program when I asked her that. She talked about what she wanted, what it would, you know, what it would enable her to do. And I couldn't bring her back on the program. She was saying, I want to be able to do all these kinds of things. So she took a really general...
And that's why we changed your script to say,
exactly.
What's one program you want to learn?
That's right. And that's exactly what motivated that change. So I hadn't had a chance, other than with Mary, to practice that program once. And when I tried to get additional, when Mary and I did a role play, and after I did the first question, which she mentioned Excel, I tried to say, were there any other programs? And she got very general with that too as well. So I went, okay, obviously there's another
okay.
program.
Well, here's a tip I can teach then for everybody who encounters people who are not answering questions the way you anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You were anticipating they would answer your question in a certain way. They are not answering it in that way. Don't be afraid to interrupt them with a polite interruption. I'm sorry, I'm just going to pause you for a sec. And then rephrase the question. So with somebody like that, Meryl, where I'm saying, what's one of your goals? And what I mean is, what's a computer program you'd like to learn? And they're saying, I want to learn how to do everything on my computer so I can be super fantastic and get shit done. And you're like, okay, that isn't really what I was asking. Don't be afraid to say, okay, well, let's actually chunk this down. In this case, for an overgeneralist, you have to say to them, let's chunk this down. What's one program you want to learn? So basically, stop people when they're answering things in a way, or just wait till they're done talking, if it's short, and rephrase the question so that they're hopefully understanding what you're saying in such a way to give you the type of answer you're looking for. Because all that's happened is they've misunderstood, it's not that they've misunderstood the question. We've asked the question in such a way that for their brain, they thought we meant something else.
Yep.
And so if that's the case, just pause them, rephrase the question, or try to find a way to rephrase the question so you can get something that's closer to the answer you're looking for. And I don't mean that they're going to feed you the exact thing you're looking for, but that they're answering the type of question you're trying to ask, if that makes sense. Like, I know you're not trying to specifically get a certain answer out of someone. I don't want you to, you know, when it comes to phase two and you're trying to find out whether or not they've taken a class in the past and you're hoping the answer is yes, and they say, no, I've never taken a class. And I don't want you to say, are you sure you've never taken any class anywhere? Because you're trying to get them to say yes to the class question so you can use right. That mini story. I'm not suggesting that. What I am suggesting is when you say something like, when you have X, what will having that do for you? And they don't quite understand what that means, the way that it's phrased, and they start saying random stuff, and you're like, ooh, I'm going to pause you for a sec. Let me rephrase that question. And you're just trying to ask it in a way so that they'll understand what you're trying to express.
Right.
You know, so when you do have X, the other way of phrasing that, if people don't understand what will having that do for you, you can say, what good things will come?
Okay, good.
So that doesn't quite work as well as what will having that do for you, because when you say what good things will come, they don't often say ultimate goals like I'll be happy. When you say what good things will come, they tend to think of things like I'll be able to pay off my bills, right? And so it's not quite the right question, but if they're having trouble understanding what will having that do for you, you can always say, well, what good things will come? What good things will come? When you have X, then what good things will come? And sometimes I'll drop that question in once just so they kind of understand what I'm asking. Then I'll go back to, and what will having that do for you? And if they get confused again, I'll drop in that suggestion. Will you feel fulfilled? Will you feel happy? Will it give you a sense of adventure? What are some things that will happen for you?
Then you'll give
them yes. Yeah, I'll totally be happy if that happens. Okay, great. Awesome. You'll be happy. Now let's start to fly out into the future. So, yeah, that's just a tenet of communication and noticing when people have interpreted a question you've asked in a way that you did not intend, and you have to pause them, go back by rephrasing it. And don't be afraid to pause them twice. If you rephrase it and they're still answering in a way that it's not making sense to you, or it's not at all what you're trying to ask, say, I'm sorry, I do have to pause you again. Let me try rephrasing again. And if it doesn't work that second time, just leave it. Don't keep interrupting them. It'll start to get annoying. It's harder for them to do the goal part. Some people have said to me, I don't know what I want. Help me figure out what my goals are or should be. And then I have to do that with them. Other people say, I don't know how to step into the future. I can't imagine having this goal. It's just not working. And that happens for people. And so there are times I have to re-figure out how to do phase one or even phase two. Because sometimes I'll ask them questions and they're like, I don't know what my problem is. I don't know what's keeping me stuck. And so you just have to try to help them out with whatever they're stuck with. So if somebody says, I don't know what my goals are, I'll say, well, okay, well, let's just break this down. I know that we're here to talk about business. How many customers do you have right now? 3. Okay. Would you like to have more customers? Yes. Okay. Let's make that goal number 1. So do you see what I did? I'm making assumptions and yeses as to some of their goals. I'm checking in if my assumptions are true. You know, how many customers do you have? Do you want more? Yes, great, let's make that goal number one. So sometimes you have to do a little bit of extra behind-the-scenes work to get them to identify a goal. Sometimes when they say, I just can't step into the future, I can't even see it, I can't feel it, it just, I can't do it. I don't know if my brain doesn't work that way or what. Maybe I'm broken. And I'll be like, no, you're not broken. Because, of course, I don't want people putting themselves down in the middle of a session. And I'll say, let me just rephrase this. So if you can just guess at what it might be like in a future where you had X, what would you guess it might feel like if you had to guess? And people can guess, well, I think I'd be happier. I think I'd have less stress, right? So if they can't feel it, if they can't see it, just ask them to guess. And if it's better if they can feel it and jump out into the future, but some people just, they can't. For whatever reason, they can't. And so you just find other ways to ask it. Like, well, guess, or what do you think? That's another way to say it. What do you think it might be like out there? They can't feel it, but maybe they can think about it. What do you think it might be like? Or what do you it might be like?
I've used the technique sometimes. I just don't know. I said, well, if you did know, what do you think it might be?
Yep, that works too.
That's,
that does work too. That is another, yet another phrasing to make people guess, basically. And you can let people know, we're just playing here. We're just experimenting. We're, you know, stepping in and making some guesses about what the future might be like to get some insight into how your life will transform when you do have X in your life.
So I need kind of just a little bit of guidance because, you know, I've just gone through your video piece and you're saying you really want to stay with the words and the script because there's a psychology behind all that. And yet there's times where I feel I'm talking to someone and they're getting a little annoyed if I'm trying to, you know, ask the question, well, what will have all that do for you? What will all that have that do for you? And then I feel a need to kind of explain, we're drilling down so I can really get to the key element here so I know exactly how to construct a training program for you. Is that getting more
That's not what you want to say. You don't want to say that at that point.
Remember that phase,
it's not an intake, because if you say that, it sounds like you're expecting that they're going to sign up with you, and that's going to feel really uncomfortable to them.
Got it.
Well, I'm doing this as an intake to figure out how to customize a training program for you. The other person is like, wait a fucking minute, I never said I was going to sign up with you. Why are you pressuring me into this? So don't say that. But remember what phase one is for. It is a section of the session that is mindset work. So if they are weird about why you're asking the same repeat question over and over, there's two things you want to do. One, you want to make sure you're asking that question in a way that isn't annoying, which means don't sound like a robot when you do it. Be emotionally in the words. And you'll be able to do this, Meryl, because you're good at voice and modulation mimicry. So you don't want to say, like it's rotely memorized, you don't want to say, so when you have that, what will having that do for you? And when you have that, what will having that do for you? It just sounds a little bit parody, like a parrot, because you're not emotionally present to what you're saying. I know that you're used to asking the question so much that it's harder to be emotionally in what you're saying, but if you can slow yourself down and ask it like you're actually curious. Ask it like you're asking an honest question, which would be like, well, when you have X, what'll having that do for you? And then, oh, well, when you have A, B, and C, what does having all of that do for you? You might even throw in another little add-on, like what does having all of that do for you altogether? And so it's a way of sounding more
interested.
Yeah, rather than just going through a script and saying what you're supposed to say. So you want to be in the sentence that you're saying, so to speak. And number two, if they do ask, like, why this question? Like, why are you asking this question over and over? You could say, well, this is part of your mindset conditioning work. Right now, the first half of this session is conditioning your mindset to actually be more successful when it comes to computers.
Oh.
That's what you're doing in phase one. You're not doing an intake to figure out how to better serve them. That's actually technically more phase two. Phase one is mindset work. That's the psychology work. That's the getting them. Technically, what I've written into the script is how to help people, one method to help people get their unconscious and their conscious mind aligned with their goals so that those goals are more likely to happen for them because they're getting both elements of their brain aligned with that goal.
Is that okay to say, tell them when they say, well, what do you mean by mindset work?
I would just say mindset work and leave it, and hopefully they just leave it alone because I don't want to waste more time in the session explaining stuff to them. And just leave it. And if they don't accept it and they say, well, what is mindset work, which I don't normally get because in the introduction part of the script, it says in the first half, we're going to be doing some mindset work. It says something like that in the intro of the script.
Right.
You're saying that to people, right, Meryl? In the beginning,
yep.
You're saying...
I'm reading the script, exactly.
Yeah, and so it basically tells people, first half is mindset work, second half is making a map of what's missing, kind of, and I think it says something similar to that. And, well, it says we're going to, you know, spend time in the positive for the mindset part, we're going to have all the time for the negatives in the second part, and so hopefully if you just remind people, this is part of the mindset work. This is part of the mental conditioning that actually sets up your mind to be able to learn computers better.
So I'm already doing a good service for them, which I kind of like.
Exactly. That's the point of this session, is that when they walk away from this session, it's actually a session. Like, if they don't sign up with you, they'll still be better at learning computers, and they'll have a map of the reasons they had trouble learning computers in the past and what to look for in order to learn computers easier in the future. So it is a full session unto itself if they don't sign up. It's a true service to whoever you give it to.
Connected a little bit more. I mean, I sort of knew it, but you just kind of like actually shoved the plug in a little bit more.
Great.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense. So I really am doing something for them. I sort of knew it, but I mean, this kind of made it more clear. And so they'll hear that in the voice now when they talk. And it's like, so, you know, we're going to do a mind session for you. We're actually going to put you in a better place for you to be successful. Which is kind of cool. Very cool.
And if you need to explain anything else after mindset, you can say we're actually aligning your conscious mind and your unconscious mind, or you can say this is similar to mental conditioning that Olympians do.
I like that too.
That's another shortcut way to say it. And so we're using those techniques, so to speak, to actually condition your mind for success the way that Olympians do.
Nice.
That's another thing you can say. Most of the time people will say, oh, cool. And then they'd keep going. Because really, truly, you don't want to have to spend a lot of time explaining crap to people because it takes up the time that you need to be actually doing the mindset work in the first half and then the mapping work in the second half so that you can get to the third part, which is making your offer. And you want to have time for all of that. So that's why I say when people are very verbose, don't be afraid to interrupt and say, I'm sorry, I got enough information. From what you just said, I want to just move on to the next question because I want to make sure we have time for everything that we do in this session. And they go, okay, great. And then on to the next question. Yeah. And then sometimes they do keep talking a long time for the second question, and then I got to be like, sorry, I have to interrupt again. I actually got all the information I needed. Thank you. That's awesome. I heard that you want A, B, and C. And so my next question is, blah. So don't be afraid to micromanage people, so to speak, if they are asking too many questions, talking for too long, not answering the question in the way that you had hoped. Like, that's why you want to remain the facilitator of the conversation. You want to be the one who's in control of the conversation, which simply means that you're not afraid to interrupt and redirect when necessary. Or interrupt and say, I'm sorry, you're starting to tell me a story, and what I really love is if you can tell me in just one or two sentences, you hear me using this all the time, I just used it earlier with Meryl. Can you tell me in one or two sentences X, whatever X is? So there's times that I pause people and I'll say, I'm so sorry, can I pause you? I love the story you're telling me. And just in the interest of time, so we have time to do all the wonderful things we're going to do in this session, can you tell me in one or two sentences what having more customers in your business will do for you? And they'll say, I will have, right? And they're fine. They readjust and they answer my question generally in the way that I've guided them. So you can also write that down in your, keep that in your back pocket or your toolbox, which is, can you tell me in one or two sentences, and then fill in the blank.
That's actually a help to them as well, because if they are rattling on and just used to just telling stories, you're actually saying, I'm going to zero in.
And people do. And, I mean, you may have to pause at one point and say, for the first half, for all the questions I'm going to ask you, I'd actually love it if you can answer in about one or two sentences. For the second half, we'll have more spaciousness to go into story. But for the first half, for the mindset conditioning part, one or two sentences is the, you know, ultimate or the best way to answer each question. So sometimes it's just pausing them and kind of teaching them, hey, for the first half, let's just, it's more efficient if we answer in one or two sentences. So you can use all of those techniques. It's just really getting used to facilitating conversation and teaching people how to answer your questions, pausing and rephrasing questions if you need to, pausing and asking for shorter answers if you need to, dropping some hints as to what some possible answers could be if they're not answering in the way that you were hoping. Those are all just tenets of facilitating the conversation.
So the big thing I just was thinking about, it's okay that, as I asked before, it's okay to give them hints. You don't have to wait for them. You don't have to derive it directly from their subconscious or mind. It has to be their own words. You can give them hints, and they can decide to agree or not agree.
Correct. Especially if they're not answering in a way that makes sense for what you're shooting for. And it's taking too long, and you don't want to wait anymore for them to organically come up with it, then you can drop some hints. Because that is something that you do need to pay attention to, is managing time. You need to make sure that you can try to get through, you know, phase one in, like, I don't know what, 20 minutes, so that phase two can take, I don't know, 40 minutes, so that phase three still has half an hour.
Good.
If need be. Or something like that, right? I'm just making up those numbers right now. But if we were to portion it out, ideally phase one is the shortest. Phase two has more time because people have to give longer answers sometimes. You have to explore different things. You might have to explain some things to people. And then you need enough time in phase three to do the negotiating, if need be. So yeah, so we've run 30 minutes past time. Apologies for going over time, for those of you that might have been like, I gotta get somewhere. But we had some other questions that was happening.
Okay.
Great. there's definitely times that people are like, stop running so long, I have to go. And I definitely do get that from people. I want to respect time. And there was more questions, and that's what I was hoping for, because I want to be able to make sure that you've got solutions for any kind of even slight road bump or question that you might have in your free consult or anywhere else.
This is just perfect. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, your Maestro conference notice says this is an hour and a half.
Oh, does it?
Late. Yeah, you're right on time.
I think Lori, they're meant to be an hour long, and I think Lori didn't know that because she's the one who set it up, and she's used to Freedom Tribe being an hour and a half, and so she set it up and probably was just like, yeah, it's 90 minutes, because they all are. But,
no.
Okay, well, great. You weren't planning on going anywhere. I wasn't interrupting your evening. So yeah, I guess then I won't start teaching how to start doing talks unless there's somebody else that's like, please, I really want to learn that now. In which case, if I put it up, just don't pay attention to it. just ignore it and stick with what you're doing and whatever feels most powerful for you right now and where you want to focus your attention on growing. And again, if we want to try to max out your free time with free consults, because you really will grow the fastest that way. So whatever we can do to get more of those to get booked per week is really where all of my focus is. And teaching you guys the talk formula is simply to get you more free consults. So, yeah.
Well, I have one for tomorrow morning.
Yay! Awesome sauce. Mm-hmm. And maybe just even just implementing a little bit of what I covered tonight around something like using Canva so that your images have words on them might help get some more free consults, and then also going across platforms and starting to post on Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter, because those are all just single posts. It's not like you have to go in a number of groups to post. That might also help get you some more consults too. And I'm going to try, I haven't figured out the platform yet. If anybody knows a good platform, let me know. I want to try to do a virtual Entrepreneur and Small Business Institute meetup online. And I know that Mysore Conference can break us into groups so that people can network in groups. I might end up doing that, but I kind of like the option of having video.
What about Google Hangouts? Would that work?
I was thinking Google Hangouts, but I don't know how to break it. I don't think we can break up into groups. So the benefit
it's
of Google Hangouts is...
It's 9 people total. I think you're limited to 9.
On live video.
That's 9 people who are going to be participating, though. It's if you have, you can have as many people as you want watching, but you don't have...
I know.
Break it into
groups. Well, yeah. Maybe I'll do a different version. So with Mysore Conference, let's say 50 people show up to the online networking. I can break you up into 2 groups of 25, and we can still do that round robin where each person gets 2 or 3 minutes to talk about what they do and to ask for resources from the circle. However, you can't see each other, so it's not as engaging, and I have not done it yet, so I don't know about, like, how do we choose the person who starts? How do we choose who's next? You know, everyone's going to try to start talking at the same time. We don't have any visual cues and no way to set it up really easily.
Well, you know, Dana, that's something that I use a lot of when I did, WebEx, of course, is one of them, but my brain's not thinking clearly about this, but we also had another. WebEx also had a GoToMeeting. GoToMeetings were also doing that. So as trainers, we did a lot of online training that way. Now, that's something you have to buy, though, so I don't know if that's what you're really willing to get involved in. But there are free...
Yeah, because I don't want to... If I have to buy something, then I'm going to charge the group for attending, and I'd rather keep it free.
Yeah, you might be able to get away with initially with a free GoToMeeting, you know, training session. I don't know how long, but I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
Well,
there might also be other things. You're looking for
I see what you're saying. But they don't have groups, do they?
GoToMeeting, yeah, they do. It depends on what you have. GoToMeeting, you have GoToTraining, and you go to conferences. So it's different levels of go-tos.
But I can break people into separate groups,
and
they can see who's supposed to speak next in the group.
Yep. You can set it up. You can actually do that. And there's a whole. But there's again, it's a whole thing you have to pay for. And I don't know if they offer that for free.
Right.
But we did a lot of that.
Here's. Let me tell you the thing that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to run an online networking event where I combine Bay Area, Los Angeles, New York, and London all in one group.
Oh, wow.
And then I wanted to feature each of you in my accelerator as guest speakers for maybe like 5 minutes or 10 minutes each.
That'd
to get
fun.
You more free consults. So that was my plan, and I wanted to teach a segment myself, which is the segment I always teach, how to talk about what you do to get more customers. And then I wanted to feature you guys as guest speakers, and then I wanted to do networking circles online. which I wasn't sure how to do. So my thought so far, my cleanest thought was I would use Google Hangouts. Each of you would call in on video so people can see you, just you, my guest speakers, my featured speakers. And then I would teach my segment using screencasting and maybe my video, and then I would feature each of you as guest speaker spots to get you more free consults. And then I would have the online networking happen in the chat box where everybody can, in the chat area, type there, what do you do, and these are the resources I'm looking for, and here's my email address. And then it's a little abbreviated because other people aren't talking to each other. It's just in the chat box, but people can then scroll through the chat box, look at who's in the room, send resources to other people who they think they can help, et cetera. That was the best idea I've come up with so far, because the real point of it is to combine all four meetup groups together and to get you guys international exposure and hopefully some more free consultations from all over the place.
That would be awesome.
As you say, that's hot. I'll ask my video coach if he might have something.
Okay, that's awesome.
You know what?
That's my
plan.
And what I'd like.
And I'm sorry, how many people total did you say you wanted? Yeah.
I don't know because it's been a year or more since I ran one of these international ones, and my last international had 50. 75? I can't remember. It was so long ago. It was a decent amount.
Okay.
And it was a very active group. I was teaching how to talk about what you do. I had all kinds of people raising their hand for me to do the one-on-one spotlight coaching with them. It was very interactive. People loved it. And interestingly enough, the most interactive people were the London people. And when I went to London to run this group, I had the best positive response of any of the chapters that I run. So who knows what's up with London, but they're just on fire. And they might make great customers as well. So
we got to do this.
I mean, that's how I met Jenna and Aaron and Aaron's girlfriend, whose name is escaping me right now, who was originally, Aaron's girlfriend. No. Aaron's girlfriend, who was in the program right at the beginning, and then she left in April.
Oh.
Can't think of her name right now. Giovanna.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how we met. Jabine, I can't remember how she met me. I think she met me through an online way that I'm not sure what is. I can't remember. But the reason that Jenna and Aaron and Giovanna were in the program was because I went to London, ran one event, and they came up to me and they were like, you are my coach. Like, guy, I'm signing up with you. Whatever you do, whatever you teach, you are my coach. And, like, that does not happen in the other cities where after one exposure to me, they are so convinced that I am the only person to be their coach. They want no one else, so to speak. They're, like, in both feet. And, like, London, they were so open and friendly and with each other, too. It was, like, the most amazing networking experience for the group itself in terms of how, like, joyfully open and expressed people were, which is not how you expect Englanders to be because they have British reserves. So it was the weirdest experience that it was so open over there. But nonetheless, my plan was to run an international event so that you guys could get more exposure. Specifically, I wanted to feature each of you as guest speakers to get you more free consults. And at the same time, I was just hoping that there would be a way that we could still do the networking circles in the online networking version. That's the part that I couldn't figure out. Because with Google Hangouts, I can feature each of you guys on video, and that's the best. You know, people getting to see your video and see you talk and see you talk about how you help people. It's the same as if, just like at ESBI in San Francisco, I have Heather come up in front of the room, and because she helps with setup and things like that, she's kind of like on the team, if you will. And so I have her come up to the front of the room in the beginning of the show, and I'm like, these are, you know, our sponsors, if you will. These are the volunteers. These are the people who helped to make tonight happen. Everybody gets to speak for a couple of minutes in front of the room and promote themselves. And so that's a really great way to get exposure because people are seeing you and your face talk about what you do and how you help people. So Google Hangouts does the same thing in that each of you can be on video talking about what you do and how you help people, and that you're giving away private sessions. And the only road bump is there's no good way to have at least voice networking for everyone else.
To me, the key thing when we were doing those things, when people were exchanging, you got a chance to hear everybody talk about their stories and say, and this is what I'm dealing with, these are some of the things. They give a little presentation, and then you want to help them. You feel compelled to help them. And I might lose something during the text, but if there was a way that you could get a group and get everybody to talk to one another, that would be a good thing.
Oh, wait a minute. I think Maestro Conference has a video feature. I might be able to have other videos on with me. I just haven't tried it yet. I'll have to double check if I have that feature on Maestro, because then we have the breakout rooms.
Yeah.
I just don't yet know with the breakout rooms how to tell people, okay, you're first, you're next, you're next, you're next. That part I don't know. I can't. I guess I'll look into Maestro, see if that works. And if not, then maybe what we'll do is I'll just run a meetup where I teach my bit, and then you guys are guest speakers, and then maybe that's just it. It's not a highly effective speed networking event. It is simply a how to talk about what you do in 3 minutes to get new customers event, a business training, and then you guys are the guest speakers.
And then you promote a speed networking on-site.
I can do that for each chapter except LA, because I'll be running one in New York in September and one in London in September. So that's true. That's true. Meryl, good point. So, yeah, that's what's on my radar. That's what I'm trying to figure out how to make work for you guys so that I can feature you.
Thank you.
Yes. So if you know of any software. What's that?
We'll have to start working even harder to get those conference experiences so we're ready to talk and something to say.
Conference experiences?
Well, the script experiences, getting more free conferencing experiences.
Oh, I see.
So we just need to get better at having customers so that we can actually talk about what we're going to say comfortably.
So you do have the how to talk. Oh, I'm about to upload into the portal the how to talk about what you do thingy training. So you can have a look at that and make sure that you have formulated your elevator pitch in a way that is a decent first draft so that when I do feature you, you can use that.
Okay.
And suppose I can come up with a little general formula, although I can't have you each using the same formula because it'll look very formulaic.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I'll just give you some bullet points. I'll give you some each bullet points of remember to include these three bullet points, these three topics, and then you can each talk about those bullet points organically in your own fashion, and then it won't look so formulaic.
Dana, have you done this with Google Hangouts before?
I haven't. I have used Google Hangouts. I haven't had other presenters call in, so we can do a practice.
The reason I'm asking is that my buddy and I are he's doing that for his other business, and he said that he had to have somebody who was kind of like the television producer while he was doing the actual content. So you need somebody who's kind of like the switching. I just want to make sure you knew that.
Yes.
And it's probably a good idea. Maybe even have a practice session.
Yeah, you're right. And I probably do need a quote-unquote producer who can fiddle with the buttons while I'm doing something, if there is a feature that allows that.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Okay.
Yeah. He's teaching.
Someone else can log in as admin of some kind, I guess.
Yeah, they're actually the one who creates the session, and then you're on as a presenter.
Oh, I see. I got you. Okay. That makes sense. And then technically I'm a guest speaker in that session. It's not even on my account, so to speak. It's on their account. Okay. So much technology to need to figure out. Make it work.
I know a little bit about it. I'm getting better, but you know that will be eventually something I will be incorporating.
I mean, the other simple version of this is doing this on Maestro, and I just teach, and there aren't visuals, or everybody gets emailed a cheat sheet ahead of time, and everybody looks at their cheat sheet while I'm talking, and then I feature you guys as guest speakers, but it's just your voice. So, you know, there are shortcut ways to do this that require less figuring out and jimmy-rigging.
There's so much software out there. One of my teams in my network marketing company just started using a product called Zoom, which has different purchase levels, but it's...
Oh, yeah, that's like Skype. It's supposed to take over Skype.
Ephraim had, Mary, remember Ephraim had asked us about that when we were first talking? He said, do you guys use Zoom instead of Skype?
Yeah, with Zoom, the free one, you're limited to, was it 40 minutes total for everybody to get their day done.
That's not long enough.
No, that wouldn't be long enough for what you do, but I saw it steps up in price depending on how many people you want. But the prices were not. It's like the first price level is $10 a month, so it's not expensive.
Okay. Well,
it might be. I don't know. It just might be worth looking at.
Okay. We'll figure something out. I just wanted to let you know that I was trying to set you guys up for more success by giving you some. Free guest speaking spots to my four organizations across the U.S. and then over in Europe. Because I think I even might have had people in other countries in the London one as well in Europe, or maybe they were from other countries and living in London. I can't remember. Nonetheless, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out a way to make that happen. That's coming up somewhere in the future. Featuring you guys as guest speakers for, you know, 5-minute spots. I don't know what's a good amount of time to have you guys speak without feeling like you need to teach something, right? I might have you each.
Yeah.
I might have you each teach a tip when you speak. You know, so for example, if I was a guest speaker, I would say, my name is Dana Garrison. I help entrepreneurs who are struggling to get more customers. I help them break through the 6-figure ceiling and grow a business that lets them travel the world. And, you know, I specialize in helping people become international public speakers. I help them have multiple streams of income in their business. And today I'm going to teach you a tip on how to get more free consultations using Facebook. And then I might go and take 2 minutes to teach the tip, you know, join many Facebook groups that have a similar audience as that you're trying to reach, start getting known in that group, start posting just like quotes and nice things and responding to other people, and then after a week or two of doing that, start posting that you're giving away free consultations, you know, so that's teaching a tip, and then maybe like naming some problems. So a lot of problems that my clients run into are they need to get more clients, they need to get more free consultations, they need to have a steady stream of new people that are curious to work with them instead of depending on word of mouth. They're sick of having that up and down income where it's ebb and flow, but it's more ebb than flow. All right, so now I'm just naming the problems that people can self-identify with. And then I'm saying, if you run into any of those problems and you'd like help with getting more, you know, clients for using free methods online or becoming a public speaker, then I'm giving away 15 private one-on-one sessions this month to help people out with that. And if you want to grab one of those, then send an email to info@danagarrison.com. So that might be a little bit what each of your talks sound like.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like you talk a little bit about who you are and what you do. You teach a tip. You name some of the problems that your customers run into. You name some of the solutions that you provide. You tell people that you're giving away sessions, and here's how you get them. And I might even set you guys up, because you each are going to be offering free consults. I might set it up by saying, I've asked each speaker to give away 15 private one-on-one sessions to the people in our community who want them. You know, I might set it up that way so it makes
mm-hmm.
more sense as to why each speaker is saying the same thing on that part mm-hmm. of the talk. And then when you get to that part, it makes sense why you're saying that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So anyways, that's what I've been working on over here for the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks, trying to figure out format, technology, how to do it, how to have you guys be as speakers, what you should say, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, do let me know if you find or hear of any software that might help.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you know when that might happen. And we'll do basically like a test run. We'll do our first one, our first online version with guest speakers, because I've done an online version, but I was the only speaker. So we'll do a test run, our first online version with guest speakers featuring you guys, and then we'll do it again at some other point in the future, and ideally it'll get better and better because we figure out how to make it work better.
Amazing.
Cool beans.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, now we've definitely gone way over time. And so have a great week. Do go out there and pound the pavement, or I guess pound the screen with getting your free consults out on all those platforms. Just remembering to include the other ones in your posts. Remembering
mm-hmm.
to tag me in your posts on Facebook so it shows up on my wall. Tag anyone else that gives you permission to, so that we can all continue to share and reshare your posts so you keep getting more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we'll go from there.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Big hugs to you guys. Lots of love. And we will talk to you soon, somewhere, Freedom Drive or elsewhere.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a great week, folks. Bye-bye.